Welcome back to the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 454. We're going to have some fun in this podcast, and I'm going to talk to somebody that listeners to the Bob Davis Podcast really like to hear from, and that is Sunny Lohman out in California, who has some things to announce regarding her YouTube channel on podcast 454. Well, Sunny's venture for YouTube, she's got a long-term channel, and now she's just started a new channel, which proves the old adage that the more things remain the same, the more things change, and change is the one constant these days. And that is also true when it comes to real estate in the North Metro. Now, there are more buyers than sellers. So if you're in the market to sell, and especially if you're in the market to buy, you need a real estate professional that understands the market. I've been talking about prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you, and that's really, really important. If you're looking to buy or sell in the North Metro, which is growing by leaps and bounds, take a moment and talk with Eric and Aaron Lucero, a husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. First of all, Luke Team Real Estate is getting all kinds of great comments and reviews for great customer service, and of course, Eric and Aaron Lucero, as a husband and wife team, have the flexibility to help you look to buy or sell in the North and Northwest Metro, whether it's Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, all along the North Metro 94 corridor for real estate experience. Eric and Aram Lucero. They're at 763-433-9100. You can reach out to them, 763-433-9100. So buying or selling, you need real estate professionals that have knowledge of the market so you can find a property that fits your needs if you're looking to buy, or if you're looking to sell, you can find a buyer that can obtain the right financing and is actually ready and is going to be able to go to close. So as a husband and wife team, as I said, Eric and Aaron Lucero can respond quickly. And when you combine that with customer service at Luke Team Real Estate, you're good to go. So I said, and I'm going to repeat, that the North Metro is growing quickly. I have friends up there. I go up all the time now, and I'm amazed at the growth because of 610 expansion schools, the expansions on 94 and so forth. So if you're looking to buy or sell up there for real estate expertise, Eric and Aaron Lucero, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. And thank you guys for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, let's get to Sunny.
Let's do it.
As promised, we're going to talk to Sunny Lohman, who is out in beautiful Napa Valley in California. And my understanding is it's not raining. We were so upset in California about the drought recently that was the end of the world. Suddenly now we're having mudslides and people are upset down in Los Angeles because I'm told, I don't live there, but I'm told that when it rains, people slide off the road and it's confusing and nobody knows what to do. And, you know, it's even though, as Albert Hammond once said, it never rains in Southern California. But girl, don't they warn you? It pours, man. It pours.
It is pouring. It's pouring here. It's been pouring all day. It's a real drag. I'm waiting for the sun to come back out.
You have El Nino.
We do.
We have polar vortex.
It's good. It's good for the region. So,
what do they call that? The Southland. They don't call you the Southland, though, right? You're not the South. You're the Midland.
No, we're not. But, Napa is still a farming community, so they still do really depend on getting some good rains.
Well, that's very nice. It's always something with the farmers. They're constantly complaining about stuff. Farmers. What do you do with a farmer?
These are some high-end farmers. I don't feel super sympathetic.
I did a podcast when I was out. I actually visited Sunny and her husband, stayed at the house. It was amazing. And I had a great time. I parked the truck in the driveway. And
the big Bob Mobile.
The big Bob Mobile. That's what you call it. And we did a podcast and
scared all my neighbors. They're like, what is that big ambulance looking thing?
Did they really? Were they really?
Sure. No, I don't know.
But I did. I was really amazed at the farms. They are perfect. Everything there is perfect. It's perfect.
It is. That's what I like about it. It's like a feast for all of your senses. Everything is perfect. There is the perfect rows of vineyards, and then at the end of every row is a rose bush, and then along the hedges are these perfectly orderly and planted olive groves. And it's just like everywhere you look, it's beautiful. It's manicured. It's like, and it's just gorgeous. I love it.
The Latin American food store, which I went to the day that I left, I had to go to buy something. And I went to the only store I could get to was the Latin American. And it was perfect. It was like the perfect Latin American food store. It's weird. Yeah. It was in the ghetto over there where the yoga place was. So, and what are we going to talk about? You're doing something on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm doing a daily YouTube show right now on my new channel, The Daily Sunny. So my comedy videos are on the old channel, House of Sunny. And I say old channel. It's been around. It's still functioning. I just put out a parody of the latest gun control PSA on that channel. But on my new channel, The Daily Sunny, we're having daily 1-3 minute quippy, funny, and hopefully entertaining news videos.
That is great.
Yeah, and it's exciting.
And you have to do this every day.
Almost every day. Sometimes if I don't have something to say, if I don't have something funny or a point of view that's interesting, I just can't bring myself to just dial it in. So I sometimes miss. And then I got sick over Christmas with what might have been the norovirus. I don't know if you've heard about this crazy thing.
Oh, yes, the norovirus.
But I have never seen anything like this. I was in Las Vegas at my brother's house, and there were 11 of us at the house, and every last one of us got sick. Every single one of
really?
Us got this stomach virus. It blew through the family like so quickly. Everybody got it. And then days after I thought I was no longer contagious, I came home, and I gave it to everybody here.
So it's really, this is a real thing. The norovirus is really a thing.
It's a serious thing. It was seriously miserable.
I know two people out there that have it right now.
What's that?
I know two people out there that have the norovirus right now.
I know. I keep seeing on my Facebook feed, people are dropping like flies out in California here. So it's definitely having a good year this year.
Okay, let me just think for a minute. Sorry, I wanted to show you my, this has nothing to do with the thing, but I happened in the middle of the conversation to look over and see this. And I was like, oh, I'm going to show this to Sunny. Such an idiot.
What is that?
It's some weird thing from China that you wave this and it gives you,
hi, weird gold kitty.
Sorry. Where should we go from here? So
news? What's in the news?
Two video channels. What's the daily thing called? The Daily Sunny?
The Daily Sunny. Yeah, so that's the show.
That's how you find it.
Yep. You can search that on YouTube, The Daily Sunny, or you can go to my website, houseofsunny.tv, and find it there.
Okay. So let's find out how well informed you are. Let's talk about, no, I'm kidding. Let's talk about the news. No, because I have kind of changed because what I've been working on, it's funny because you're working on what I was working on and I'm working on what you were working on. It's bizarre.
Oh, that is fun. So I'm working on a daily thing and you're reining it in and working on something.
Well, what I found out was last summer I went through the whole news cleanse thing where I did a whole podcast about how just turn it off because it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I don't need to tell my listeners why it's ridiculous because I've been telling them why it's ridiculous for weeks. I don't need to go through that that whole thing again. But what I was noticing was I had these sort of tracks in the back of my head that I really felt that those are the things that to me were the real content. It was the stuff that was coming up from deep inside that I wanted to get out. And so what I've been working on is I continue to prep and read, but I'm trying not to do to talk about current events.
I see. You want to go deeper with your news when you talk about it. Well, that's fine. I think I do that anyway. I think that for me, that's what it's all about, is making some new connection. It's not just saying, okay, this happened. I mean, everybody knows what happened. Probably. You can get what happened from my show, but I'm interested in what it means, you know, what's really going on and what it might mean for us and for our culture. So, well, and I'm interested in making fun of it. Which
that's the main
is,
thing, because that's the, we need people to make fun of what's going on. That's really important.
Oh, and
that's
so
an important
easy.
Job.
No, I mean, it's hard work, but they make it easy. They make it kind of easy.
So let's do the top five Sunny stories. Can we do that? Do you have five?
The ones that I've done or the ones that I might be doing in the next week here?
Yeah, it doesn't have to. It could be ones you've done. We're just going to, the top five stories that you've seen that you feel deserve to be mentioned.
Okay. Well, I was thinking tomorrow I would talk about what happened in Germany with the women being assaulted.
Oh my God,
assaulted.
This is a great story. This is a great story.
That was incredible. And as a woman, I think I like to talk about women and Muslims. I like to talk about that because as a woman, I think I have a unique position to do that. I'm really disappointed in the response of the politicians to the incident. And the mayor of the city said something like, and it's really a big joke. The mayor said,
it's a woman. The mayor is a woman.
People at arm's length.
People
are
what?
When you go out, just don't get too close to strangers.
The mayor's a woman, isn't she?
She's a woman.
Yeah.
And now there's a hashtag going on in Germany called at arm's length that the Germans are poking fun of this comment. And like, I saw one woman had said, my arms are short. Is that going to be a problem for me?
But I mean, wasn't this coordinated? I mean, could this be considered sort of a low grade terrorist attack? I mean, this sounds like it was coordinated.
What I just read just now before actually I called you is they have this exact same incident occurred in Berlin and another city in Germany. So it sounds like at the same time in three separate cities in Germany, the same thing happened. And it involved, at least in the one town of Cologne, about 1,000 men. So that's definitely organized. That's not an accident. Yeah,
Cologne was the big one. My understanding, and this is what was said by the police, that the actual motive was, quote, robbery, unquote. But what I'd like to know more about is who's coordinating it and for what purpose. Other than to say we're here and you're not going to push us around, or I mean, it's some kind of immigrant thing for the Germans. And boy, let's have some of those folks here. That's
what's interesting is it's like that flash mob tactic where it's very, very hard to actually find any of the perpetrators because there's so many. And it's obviously coordinated. I don't think robbery, I wouldn't say. My guess is the motivation is what you said. It's just we're here and we're gonna announce our presence with authority, kind of, you know. And women should be afraid. And if I were a woman, I would be afraid. And we're gonna be going back to the time when women have to be chaperoned.
Or armed. Women have to be armed.
Yeah, or, well,
try that.
What, are you going to be wear a gun in your hip walking around Germany? I mean, is that?
Not Germany.
That's not going to happen. Here, maybe, in certain towns. But it's very interesting.
How do you make fun of that?
How do I make fun of that? That's a good question. I think you can make fun of the response that the politicians had. I think you can say things like, you know, it was just 1,000 Muslim men, but, you know, at least 1 billion Muslims are moderate. And so it's really only like 20%, maybe that 20 percentile of, you know, part of that 300,000, or I'm sorry, 300 million Muslims that are not moderate. So I like to make fun of some of those types of things. Like, these things happen, and what are they telling all of us in our face, that this is a problem? Muslim immigration is a problem. The kind, you know, where the Muslims are coming from, I'm sure it depends on the country and how devout and how radicalized the people of that country are. I think Syria tops the list. I think we all know that. And so it's just like, I love how people, they think we're stupid.
Well, certain
and then
people.
Something like this happens. You can just see it for yourself. It's a danger. It's danger. All those New Year's Eve parties that were canceled in Europe, and then this—it's like, this is what happens when you have a flood of immigrants from the wrong country.
So Cologne is number one.
Cologne is one. Yeah, Berlin and one other city.
So
I can't remember.
What's the number two story?
Number two story. Let's see. Well, today I did the whole executive action, the gun control executive action.
Did you cry?
I did. I used Visine, you know, and I did a little message for Obama. And it probably won't be the last teary message that I give to Obama. I'm thinking that should be a regular thing I do.
I think it was amazing that the White House had to say today that he was genuine. They had to actually say, no, the president was genuine.
I can't believe they commented on that. Why would you even respond to that?
You know the old political saw that that is attributed to Lyndon Johnson, but I'm sure it goes back further than that. At one point, he was reported to have said, you know, let's say that he beats his wife of his opponent. And at one point, and somebody said, but sir, he doesn't beat his wife. And she said, and he said, then let's get him to deny it. So what's happened is between Sarah Palin and the other people, you know, and the Fox reporter, Andrea Tantros, who said
she said he has an onion.
He must have used onion. They were forced to say that the president was actually genuine. And here's why he was crying.
Oh, my God. Well, what do you think, Bob? Think it was
he
real?
Didn't cry for the Benghazi victims. He didn't cry. He didn't. I don't think we've seen any. We have seen pictures of President Bush crying with soldiers. You know,
what about he didn't cry about San Bernardino? He didn't cry about Paris. I mean, and I realize children, it's very upsetting when children die, maybe over and above adults, frankly. I mean, that's, I think, just true. But do you think it was a planned cry, or do you think he spontaneously cried?
I have no idea. Yeah. I couldn't tell you. Wouldn't know.
It's hard to say. Either way, it's not, I don't think it's good.
Well, what he's doing isn't good, because what it does is laying the groundwork for, you know, it lays the groundwork for New York City and Boston and Chicago to pass more significant gun laws, gun control legislation. And it makes it a little bit easier through executive orders, through the way that he's done it for them too, because what he's doing is he's making it possible for states to enforce some of his executive orders on gun shows and things of that nature. At least that's my understanding. And so in terms of far-reaching impact of the executive orders, it's allowing Michael Bloomberg to, quote, crack down on guns, unquote. This is at a time when in Chicago, they're trying to get gun laws repealed because they want to carry law in Illinois because of the situation with crime. And we're not talking about, we're talking about people of all walks of life who want to be able to carry to protect themselves. So
especially poor people and people in the bad neighborhoods. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So that's what I looked at. I wasn't so concerned about the crying as I was concerned about, well, what are the specifics of the executive orders and what can Congress do? Yeah, there's not much Congress can do except not fund.
It's like a gift to me. That's what the crying is. It's not really important, except that it's fun to make fun of.
I think it was a bit ridiculous, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But if you're an Obama supporter,
in that moment, it just didn't feel like the right moment to be crying. I know that presidents have cried in the past, but it just felt, the reason it felt affected was that it was a weird time for him to do it, especially given that he hasn't cried in the past.
We don't like our presidents to cry.
Yeah.
We don't think that's okay.
I worked in corporate America for a long time. People didn't cry at work. I mean, stuff happens.
They do now.
Really,
they cry now.
Days, like, people got fired. Like,
bosses, you know, cry.
People lost everything. The company's stock is falling apart. Like, everything's like, hey, well, I've been in some of the worst situations where
bosses cry.
You know, we had to. Nobody cried because you keep it together and you act professionally. He has the most professional job there is, and he has to always be kind of a symbol of strength, I think. And
forget
for him
that.
To cry was ridiculous.
President Obama is not an icon of strength. He is no drama Obama. He does not have that. And so for him to cry is really significant. And if you're an Obama supporter, I'm sure that you are just, isn't he incredible? He is so...
He's got a big
so
heart.
Emotional about this. And I mean, I couldn't ever answer the question of if he cries, but I am going to ask you a question.
What's that?
Are you properly hydrated?
No.
You probably aren't.
I'm sitting here drinking water because I'm constantly thirsty out here in dry Napa.
Well, I've got this stuff. You know, I do yoga all the time in sweaty rooms and hot rooms, and you get dehydrated really fast, and then you wake up the next day and you're in pain and you can't do it the next day. And you know me, I'm a yoga freak. And I found this stuff called Hydrus. that really works to hydrate me? Well, I suppose I should say that the first question is, what do you do for hydration? And the second question is, what do you do for exercise? Or maybe that's the first question. What do you do for exercise? I practice yoga. I talk about it all the time. I do it in these crowded rooms, as I mentioned. And I thought soreness went with the territory because you wake up the next morning and you're sore, until I found out that perhaps I was dehydrated. And that's when I found out about Hydrus. Here's what happened with Hydrus. It has transformed my yoga practice. So whether you cycle, whether you do CrossFit, you lift, or some kind of competitive sport, I'm betting that Hydrus will make a huge difference in your performance, whatever it is. So what is Hydrus? Well, it's a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness without the sugar in traditional sports drinks. The bottom line is Hydrus helps me take it to the edge because you don't get the sugar and you are getting fully hydrated. It's pretty amazing. And taking it to the edge is what it's all about. So look, if you want to join the performance hydration revolution, it really works. Visit HydrusPerformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, HydrusPerformance.com, or you can click on the Hydrus banner at the top of the Bob Davis podcast page. That will take you to HydrusPerformance.com. You can order samples, you can order product, and it will tell you how to use it and give you some examples of what it does. It's been tested by tennis athletes, wrestlers, it's pretty amazing. It works pretty well. So I can't say enough good things about Hydrus. I use it every day, and my practice is transformed. It's not something I'm just making up. I love this stuff. So don't forget Hydrus, HydrusPerformance.com.
Does that stuff really work?
Yeah, it works great. I use it all the time. It's in fact, I'm drinking it right now as we speak.
I have never been more dehydrated in my life than just recently. I was in Vegas. And it's the desert. So already you're kind of like, your lips get chapped. Your nose hurts. And then I got that horrible stomach flu.
And you just, does it cause you to
couldn't even drink water for
really?
Like 2 days, not
really?
Even a sip of water. And, my lips fell off basically. I actually was sucking on ice chips.
Oh my God.
Just to kind of keep my mouth water because it was just so awful.
I'm actually surprised that you weren't hospitalized.
I am too. I got home and I was still really struggling with eating, and so I worried about it. But I ended up, it was like the day I almost went to the hospital, the next day I felt better. So finally.
Okay, so we did the president crying because of the onions,
yeah.
With the guns. Yeah. And then number one was the coordinated attack by apparently Syrian, I shouldn't say that, but Islamic immigrants to Germany attacking women. I mean, is that fair to say that? That's what it was, right? It was
absolutely. They were identified as Arab or North African. That's in the mainstream press.
Okay. So what's number three?
You know, number three is kind of more philosophic and abstract. You'll really like this. So I read an article where I think it was by Dennis Prager, and he said that it's really important, just as people on the right say that it's really important that we define the enemy, that we say radical Islamic terrorism or whatever we say. I'm not even sure. This is so confusing. But that we at least have a name for it, and we can't defeat what we don't name. So he said, just as you say that, we need to name our enemy philosophically, domestically, and that it's not really clear who, you know, the people aren't naming it. And then he says it should be leftists. And I just thought that was wrong. So I have my own ideas about that. But I think one of the reasons
why we're supposed to define Dennis Prager, who is not a paragon of conservative virtue, I think, says we should define leftists as the enemy.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I thought his point of naming the enemy, and I hate to say enemy about my fellow Americans here, but I guess my philosophic enemy. I think that's a really good point, and I don't think that the right does a good job of understanding who they are and what it is they're up against.
They don't have a clue who they are and what they're up against, number one. And
yeah,
number
I
two,
mean, they kind of the have last thing, sense.
The last thing you want to tell the right is to name the enemy, because they're going to interpret that as let's go take over a wildlife refuge and wave our guns around, because they're the enemy.
That's the other story, is the Bundy story. But the naming the enemy story is interesting. And I think that's a really, I'm not sure I have the right answer to that. I think it's a really interesting debate that we should all be having right now on the right. Because I do think that most people kind of on the right are just like, well, I love America. And they hold that sort of vaguely. And that's how you get someone like George Bush in office, who is basically a socialist.
Some guy at a party this week told me that he was a conservative, but he believed that we should reenact the draft. And I said, what? That's the biggest statist shibboleth that there is, is that we need to have the draft so that everyone has to serve. And he goes, well, it's okay. They can dig ditches. After he had finished telling me that he was really upset about immigration problem. And I said, so you don't want them to bring in illegal aliens to dig ditches, which we don't dig ditches anymore. We have ditch witches that dig the ditches. We don't do that anymore. We don't have people. Nobody digs ditches anymore. We have machines that do it. Some guy sits there and makes $27 an hour running the machine that digs the ditch, right? And then he said, but you don't have any problem drafting the Mexicans too. It's just the most there's so many disconnects.
Trump. I mean, look at some of the stuff that he has said that is really, I don't know. Anyway, I just think I think it's really important. And I think it would help the right understand who they are if they could understand who is the enemy to America and American values, which I think you said the word statism. I think that would be a fine word. I think that would be a fine name for the philosophic enemy, maybe collectivism.
Why do we have to have an enemy? Why do we have to have an internal enemy? Why do we have to define an enemy? It's old style politics.
Because of that confusion. I think that people are confused about who they are. Like, what do they stand for on a more fundamental philosophic level? They are confused about that.
I'm going to tell you why they're confused.
They have so many contradictions.
They're confused because they're ill-informed. They're people who are informed are not confused about what they stand for. They understand the differences between you can't be a conservative and be for the light rail train and have someone else. Oh, it's free money. It's coming from the federal government. You can't be a conservative and be
informed,
for that.
Informed? Do you just mean like they know what's going on, or
they don't know what's going on? You'd be surprised at how many people who are involved in politics have no idea what's going on. It's frightening. It's actually, so the last thing we need is Dennis Prager telling people they have to have an enemy. The right has plenty of enemies. They have too many enemies. Everyone's an enemy. They hate everyone.
I don't know. I feel like if we could say, okay, the enemy is statism, and I'm talking about an ideological enemy, I'm not talking about a person, then it would be much easier to say, you know what we have in common, libertarians and Republicans and objectivists and so on, is that we are for some increase in our freedoms.
Limited power. Limited power.
Until
we start talking about the football stadium, and if the football team is going to leave, then we're going to have to build the stadium, and you guys need to understand that. That's three. What's the fourth?
That's three.
Now we have the fourth, which has to be the Bundy.
Bundy thing. And I've avoided it up until now because I'm not really sure what I think about it, frankly.
Did you read Randall O'Toole's article about it?
No.
And it was actually very well. He said there are no good actors in the whole thing. And I'm not saying this, just so you know, if you're listening, people get all upset. You know, Randall O'Toole, who is he wrote the book about trans. He is a phenomenal analyst, and he has done all this analysis for how light rail is a boondoggle. And I've interviewed him a couple times. And he said that there's no one that you can really support that's a good actor. The federal government is encroaching upon these ranchers who have for years struggled. You know, it's very hard to be a rancher and not encroach on federal lands. The judge didn't want to sentence these guys to 5 years to begin with. And then here come the Bundys. It sounds like a TV show. Here come the Bundys, who are media whores in cowboy hats. I mean, that's what it is. They have no business being there, but they've decided to take that cause on. Nobody is. There's no one that you could say, you know, boy, that's someone I can get behind.
Well, what about, like, I feel bad for the Hammonds, the guys who were arrested after. I mean, this is what happens when you have minimum sentencing guidelines, is that you have a judge who judged and who said it would be cruel and unusual to sentence you to 5 years for what you did, gave him what, a year and for one guy and 3 months, 4 months for the other guy. And then that was appealed. And
well, guess what I found out? There was an agreement. There was a plea agreement. They pleaded guilty and there was a plea agreement, which the federal government ignored and went after them. And that's what restarted this whole thing. The government could have just let it go. They could have demurred and said they served their time.
5 years for what I've heard they did. And honestly, I mean, I'm just reading that like anybody else, but I understand that they started a burn on their own lands that was not, and then they get convicted of terrorism. Like, that is just the weirdest conviction.
The mistake they made was they didn't call the Bureau of Land Management and tell them that they had started this fire. They called them 2 hours after it started.
So 5 years in prison?
No, it's not. It's definitely not fair. It's definitely not fair.
And the judge thought that and made a decision, and that's what judges are for. They're supposed to make these types of decisions. When a guy gets convicted, they you did it, but obviously 5 years is ridiculous. And
well,
so
they
made
considered
a decision.
Intent, which was an important issue. They considered the intent behind it. It wasn't like they were trying to burn down the Bureau of Land Management, whatever. Why does the federal government own so much land out west?
Oh my God, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's
just
a
look
lot.
At a map, like the green, which is the you know, state and federal lands, and not just federal, but state. Some states, I think, I don't know what state has the most, but if you ever drive around there, there's just so much empty land.
Nevada,
it's all
I think
government
does.
Owned.
Do you know why
Idaho,
they have it?
Idaho is ridiculous.
Idaho.
I'm not the hoe. What are you talking about?
I'm just kidding. That's the whole thing. Don't you remember that? Idaho, Utah. Don't you remember that? Okay, I'm sorry. I think you got mad at me there for a second.
I was just protesting.
I think it's they have all the land to protect the aliens. I think that's where the alien base
is. Is that what
are.
It is?
And they have to, but they can't tell us that they do it. That's why the Bilderbergers and the Itasca group and all these people they're protecting the aliens. And
I see.
That's what I think.
Yeah, they need room to take off and land without being seen.
Okay, so we've had four. Now we got to put a cap on it. So this has to be the final one. It really has to be the good one.
Oh, gosh. I don't have my list in front of me, but what is it that I did one just before I went away on vacation about millennials. And I feel that there's something big coming. I'm going to talk about stuff going on campuses because that, and again, this gets to like, here are current issues and then trying to think about them in a bigger way. For me, what I see going on in that generation and on campuses with the free speech stuff and like what that poll came out where 40% of people in the millennial generation don't think there should be free speech. it's not so much what's happening today with Obama. And the scariest thing going on today is Iran and nuclear weapons. Everything else can be kind of
North
fixed.
Korea.
North Korea. I mean, the intercontinental ballistic missiles that Iran is developing along with the nukes, that scares me. That's a nuclear bomb on New York City. No joke.
Well, if they get together and work with the North Koreans, it's a bomb on Napa Valley and a bomb in New York City. And don't think they wouldn't do it if they didn't think they could get away with it.
I absolutely think they will do it. And Iran in particular, because I don't think they have a survival instinct. I think they just are out to kill and destroy. So because of their religious frenzy, the North Koreans have more survival instinct, I think, that, you know, what is his name? Kim Jong-il. He doesn't want to have a bomb on his head, but I don't think that Ayatollah cares. I think he'd be happy to go be a martyr.
It's Little Kim.
To take. Yeah.
What's
little
his name?
Little Kim-il.
Kim. I don't remember his name. He's
not
been out
so
of the
little,
news.
Bob.
He's a big boy.
He's kind of
husky. You know why? They keep him plump because they think he looks like Kim Il-sung, who was
It's all that rice he eats, I think, and probably root beer or something like that.
Foie gras. Is that how you say that?
So anyway, I am most afraid of what is going to happen 20 years from now when these people in college now graduate. Right? And then they get out and then they become the leaders in the business world and in the political world and in the arts and entertainment world. These people are
some
really
of them.
Scary.
You know what I think? I think they're going to be fine. I just think that I think the millennials are getting slammed. I think they are the punching bag of every political group is worried about the millennials. And I think we are hearing from one sect, one part, one faction of millennials. We're not hearing from the ones that aren't like that. I know several that are really actually really conservative. Huh?
It may be what we need to have a backlash. It's getting so absurd with the crazy, you know, pajama boy safe space stuff that
You mean the pony boy stuff?
Yeah, I mean it's just
a weird artifact.
So bad that it's kind of almost good.
I mean, I said to some baby boomers this weekend that were, you know, moaning and groaning about millennials who are their children. And let me just get this straight. The baby boomers, that was really a conservative group of people that was, you know, back in the day in 1968. Boy, they were really conservative, weren't they? And these kids today.
I know. I feel old when I say this stuff. Oh, these kids are so crazy.
I think they're great.
Maybe part of it is just that they're in college, and when they get out, they'll realize that
when they get their first paycheck. When they get their first paycheck and see how much money is taken out of it, that will turn them into conservatives. And it generally does. They're shocked. My son actually called me up and said, oh, my God.
How old is your son?
24.
Okay.
When he was working on the Hill, he got his first paycheck and he was like, oh, my God, I thought I was making all this money. And I was like, welcome. I mean, I couldn't. It's a stereotype. I couldn't believe that he actually called up and said that. You know, and if you do any, I mean, you know, you're an entrepreneur. It's the same, you know, you're constantly trying to figure out how to get out of paying taxes. That's all we do because it's a cost. It's a cost for us, you know.
Yeah.
Taxes are expensive. And I'm not saying I'm a tax evader. I follow the law. But it's a lot of money, man, you know. And I don't get much for it.
You make decisions based on tax code and, you know, it's a big deal. It's a lot of money. What do they say? The average American works until like through May or part of May for the government.
Yeah. And that doesn't even include your local Napa Valley or St. Paul or whatever, you know, community thief known as the city council or whatever.
People ask me all the time, like, how can you stand living in California with all those taxes? I'm like, I'm from Minnesota. What are you talking about?
And it is beautiful there. And I know because I've been there. It is absolutely beautiful.
It really is. And it's not that cold. It's raining, but it's not 16.
I don't know. Oh, I hear a child. I hear the screams of a child.
I can hear the child, too. Is that the bell?
Well, again, thanks, Sonny. And don't forget Hydrus. If you practice yoga, if you cycle, do CrossFit, lift, do competitive sports, if you just have an issue with hydration, Hydrus, I think, can make a huge difference. Here's what you do. You go to the Hydrus website, which is hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. A lot of Minnesotans are already checking it out. A lot of people listen to the Bob Davis podcast already checking it out. It's been endorsed by professional athletes and Legion athletes, and it really works. It's worked for me, so it's worth checking out. The website explains what it is, tells you how to use it, and you can order samples there as well. So good luck with that. And thanks, Hydrus, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcast. And don't forget, if you're looking to buy or sell in the North Metro, it is becoming a seller's market up in the North Metro. And if you're in the market to sell, especially if you're in the market to buy, you need a real estate professional that understands the market, and that would be prideofhomes.com. That is a husband and wife team, Eric and Aram Lucero. Many of you guys know Eric with Luke Team Real Estate. So they're up in the North Metro. Reach out to them if you're looking for real estate or looking to sell real estate in that part of town. 763-433-9100. Once again, 763 763- 833-9100, prideofhomes.com, and Luke Team Real Estate. And thanks for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks to the digital sponsor, thebobdavispodcast.com, this month. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes a revolutionary product. It's called the Revolutionary Alpha Systems Angle of Attack Indicator. And the bottom line is Alpha Systems saves lives. Here's what you do. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's Revolutionary Angle of Attack Indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's going to take you to Alpha's website, and you'll see a video, which I'm actually prominently featured in. Not flying, but narrating, that explains what Alpha does. So you might want to check that out. And thank you guys for being the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. It's FAA approved. And remember, Alpha Systems AOA saves lives, and it is revolutionary. Thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening to the new radio show at GCNLive.com. Thank you for liking, sharing, favoriting, and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I'm B Davis 7843. I'm going to be trying Periscope out when I start covering the elections here toward the end of January, going down to Iowa around the 26th or so of January. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com for Mobile Podcast Command. Just got $5 from Chrissia Lundberg. Thanks. Even $5 is worthy. And it all goes into the diesel fuel fund in the ambulance. And we're going to be heading out towards the end of January. More about that as we get ahead. So thanks for listening to podcast 454, the Bob Davis Podcasts. So that is podcast 454. I can hear the future. Governor of California downstairs shouting and screaming. So it's probably time to say goodbye. I've had a thrilling time.
I've had a great time, too. It's always nice talking to you, Bob.
So you're at, now there's two channels. So House of Sunny
is my old channel with the comedy videos. You can see my latest gun control parody on there.
On YouTube.
And then on YouTube. And then The Daily Sunny on YouTube is my daily YouTube show. And you can see, you can get links to both of those at houseofsunny.tv, which is my website. But you can also just search for them on YouTube.
Awesome.
So
we
Thanks, Bob.
We should both say,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.